1-800-449-8686. Pastor Renick, how you doing?
I'm really good, Phil, and I'm enjoying listening to your program today.
Pastor William Renick here on the Phil Hendry Show. So Joseph Lieberman, and Pastor, you are the head pastor?
Yeah, I'm the head deacon at Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. And we have some 700 members of our congregation. And we have a beautiful community here.
And all right, I just wanted to give a little bit of that little bit of that background, because we're talking about Joseph Lieberman, who's the vice presidential nominee of the Democratic Party. He was told by the Anti-Defamation League to back off his, what was this? Vice President Joe Lieberman, the first Jew to appear on a major national ticket, is being asked to tone down frequent references to his religion. The request comes from, of all places, a Jewish group. So what do you think about somebody who's running for office being told to tone down his religion?
Well, I think that, Phil, it can be a detriment. People, especially Christians, I don't know that Jews are necessarily guilty of this, but I know that Christians can be very overbearing with their religion and really can stop a party. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you are...
So you're walking into a room and people are having a good time and some guy starts laying his religion on you.
Some guy starts laying his religion on you, and man, that is a drag. Now, I am a deacon, I'm a pastor in a Christian church, but I do know the value of backing it down a little bit. I think the ADL is telling him to back it down. I think it's natural, because the more you talk about being Jewish, the more you remind people of why they don't like Jews in the first place. I think that happens. The same thing happens to Christians. The more you talk about being a Christian, the more people remember why they don't like Christians, especially a lot of Bible thumpers, in the first place.
Do you think that there's that much enmity out there for Christians and Jews? And
I don't think people necessarily dislike Jews and Christians. I'm just saying that when you start laying Jesus and you're doing what I call testifying or witnessing, and you're doing a lot of that, you begin to really bring the party down a little bit. You know, you start to bring people down, and they don't want that. The Anti-Defamation League, they don't want you to defame Jews, but they don't want you to parade it around, okay? And I think that's what's been going on.
All right, so I still don't understand that. I mean, if we live in a country, first of all, what do they care?
Well, I mean, look, Phil, I'm a Christian minister. And I believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. I believe that He is my the blood of the Lamb and my Savior. But even I know that a Christian can really kill a good buzz.
You know what do you mean by that?
I mean they can destroy some good times. You get a Christian opens his mouth and starts quoting the Bible in the middle of a pool party, or you just build a pool, right?
Yes.
Are you having a party?
We're going to have some friends over.
I dare you to invite a Christian or a Jew over who's talking Bible. I dare you. And they open their mouth, they start quoting Scripture, or they start testifying about this or that. Man, people are going to leave. You're going to see cars starting up. You're going to see taillights lit up. You're going to hear people mumbling excuses about needing to get home and take a babysitter. You're going to suddenly see a whole lot of drinks being placed in the sink. A lot of drink glasses going into the sink, and a lot of...
Well, and you're saying this is a... So, look, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. What I'm trying to get at here...
Look, Phil, a man can have 6 or 7 margaritas, and when a Jew or a Christian starts testifying, you are stone-cold sober. Now, I've seen it. I will tell you a story about myself.
Wait a minute. We're talking about a guy who's out on the stump who is campaigning for the vice presidency of the United States. People want to know about him, okay?
Look, he was a Jew? He said he was a Jew.
Yeah, he said it at the beginning. He said that he is an Orthodox Jew at the beginning. But don't you think people are interested in that?
And so people may be interested. I think the ADL understands, though, that while people may be interested in that, they don't want it as a constant harangue. I think that's what he's doing. I think that's why Jesse Jackson. You know, this isn't about Jews, okay?
You think Reverend Jackson talks about God too much?
Absolutely. I think the Reverend Jackson, he couldn't get elected. That guy couldn't get elected to as a troop leader at a Cub Scout den because all he does is testify. Now, I will say it again, because I was not always a Christian. I was a man who was in trouble. I was a man before I became a pastor. I was a man who was definitely confused about life. Before I found Jesus Christ and before I found the Lord and the blood of the Lamb, I was lost.
Right.
I was lost in a wilderness. I was lost in a gambling den. I was lost in a card room.
You were gambling.
I was lost out in Vegas. I was a lost soul with a bottle in my hand.
Right.
I was smoking cigarettes. I was smoking crack. But I'll tell you this, as lost as I was, and as stoned as I was in those days.
I didn't know that you had a drug problem.
As stoned as I was, Phil. You start talking that Bible stuff, man, I was stone cold sober. I'd be at a party, and I'd put the moves on some beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Tyra Banks looking thing. With the big Tweety Bird head and everything. And I started to put the moves on that sister. And I had myself a couple of 40 OZs.
Right.
I'm feeling no pain. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Now some brother comes along, starts quoting the Bible to me. Holy Jesus, you might as well. I mean, I was stone cold sober, and I had 120 proof straight Applejack for blood not 5 minutes before.
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So I'm saying to you, like Joe Lieberman, like Jesse Jackson, like anybody, you got to lay low. And you can't lay that Jew stuff. You can't lay that Christian stuff. I could smoke a rock. I mean a rock of crack cocaine.
Yeah.
And if a Jew started testifying, I'd need two rocks just to get back my buzz. That's how insufferable that can be. Now, I'm going to tell you something else.
Okay, can I say something, Reverend?
I want to tell you something else, though.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Pastor William Renick is with us. He's talking about the ADL asking Joe Lieberman to tone down his Jewishness, right?
Right.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686 as we talk to, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, whether Joe Lieberman should actually quit being, if Joe Lieberman should stop being as Jewish as he is, I guess that a lot of Christian people.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's something I had to learn as a black man. Let me ask you a question, Phil.
Okay, I just want to give the number.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me just give the number, 1-800-449-8686. What?
Who is the black guy on the Lawrence Welk show?
I didn't know there was a black guy.
That's what I'm talking about. That brother was so low, and he laid low.
And there was a black guy on the Lawrence Welk show.
There was a black man on the Lawrence Welk show. That brother laid low. Because he knows all them crackers out there, North Dakota, all the white people out there. They don't see no brother on there. They don't see a high yellow brother doing a tap dance. That's fine. But that brother isn't going to come out looking like Julius Erving, slam dunking a basketball or anything else like that. You have got to lay low. And
so you're saying to me, because I don't remember the black guy on the Lawrence Welk show, that he was doing a good job.
That's right. You think Lawrence Welk wants all them old crackers out there? Say, hey, look at this. I got myself a black man. I think he wanted them to notice it. But I do not think that he wanted them to focus on it. Now, that brother taught us all a lesson.
Do you think that that's right?
I think what's right?
Do you think that a man, a black man, has to camouflage?
You know something? You got to get along to go along. You understand what I'm saying? You want to make the paycheck. You want that man to lay the money on the barrelhead. You got to get along to go along. And what that means, basically, Phil, is you have got to say, all right, I need this job. Now, that brother got himself national television job. He got on national TV. Now, that brother, all he got to do is get out, tap dance, whatever he wants to do. Hi, yellow brother. I'd say right now, you ain't going to see Barry White on that show. He's black as the ace of spades, 500 pounds. You're going to notice a brother like that standing next to 11 sisters. But that brother on that Lawrence Welk show is what I'm talking about. You got to get along to go along.
All right, so Joe Lieberman ought to take a tip from the black guy that was on the Lawrence Welk show and just not be noticed.
I'm saying until 2 months is not much to go with just keep your big mouth shut about your religion. That's nothing wrong. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Pastor William Renick is with us. He's saying that like the black guy on the Lawrence Welk show, Joe Lieberman should play down his Jewishness and get along to go along. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. .800-449-8686 is the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick about political candidates who are, you know, out there telling everybody what religion they are. Now, you know, Pastor Renick, you see a lot of people, for instance, athletes who will parade their religion on television by crossing themselves.
I was about to say, Phil, I've seen that on football and baseball. You see them crossing themselves. Man, that is irritating. I'm telling you this as a Christian preacher, that when I see a ball player cross himself or do that whole thank you, Jesus thing, I cringe. You know, and that just makes my job more difficult because people are saying, you're going to start laying some of that Bible on me.
And that makes you cringe.
Makes me cringe because they say, you're going to start laying some of that Jesus on me. And I can't take that. You know, I mean, I'll be happy to talk about God, but I don't want some long-winded Jesus freak laying the Bible on me. I would much rather talk to a man like he's a man, you know. And people want to hear that. That's why I think the ADLT Joe Lieberman did not to do that.
Well, Joseph Lieberman is Jewish, and he's not exactly out there trying to sell anybody on becoming Jewish, which is the big difference between Christians and Jews. Christians try to...
That's the other problem I got with being a Christian. I'm a Christian, but it bothers me sometimes. And I'm a preacher. But it bothers me. We all got trying to recruit. Jews don't try to recruit. Buddhists don't try to recruit. Hindus ain't trying to recruit, but Christians are out there trying to recruit. Man, it puts people off their dinner.
All right, Rancho Cucamonga on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You sound like a really hypocrite. I don't get you. You're a pastor.
I'm a pastor. I speak the truth, though. I tell you, why am I a hypocrite? I go out and do what? Be a billboard for who?
Well, what are you trying to do? You're trying to keep your faith a secret?
I'll tell you, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to sit there at a cocktail party and bore you to death.
Well, who told you about Jesus?
I found out about Jesus after a dissolute life. A life of ruin, a life of sin, I found out about Jesus.
But who told you about him?
I found out from a man. I was going on mission in downtown Los Angeles. I was down on my luck. And my life had fallen apart.
And you were at the mission in L.A.
That's right.
Because somebody opened your mouth.
But that's not about me. It's about this guy, Joseph Lieberman. Now, you know enough people down on Jews. You're a brother, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. You know we don't like Jews.
No, you know, I don't have a problem with Jews.
A lot of black people don't like Jews.
I don't have a problem with them.
Well, I don't know what happened to you.
What do you mean what happened to me? Well, I just don't conform to what everybody else thinks.
Well,
I think for myself.
Well, a lot of brothers don't like Jews. You know that.
No, I didn't know that either.
A lot of black people don't like Jews.
Why?
And I don't know why. The fact maybe they were. I don't know why.
Do you have a problem with Jews?
I don't have a big problem with Jews.
Do you have just a small problem?
Well, wait a minute. Have you got a small problem with Jews?
I watch TBN. That's how I became a Christian, watching John and that Jan Crouch, right?
Okay.
Now, they seem they're like Jew haters. So I was influenced by these white people.
Oh,
wait a second.
You don't sound like a pastor to me.
I'm a pastor.
Do you study the Bible? You just go by what everybody else tells you and you believe.
I study as much of the Bible as I can.
Wait a minute. But Jan and Paul Crouch don't look like they like Jews.
Well, they don't look like Jew lovers to me. They look like this brother knows what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And so I was influenced.
How did you come to this life of religion?
I watched TBN.
So you were living down on Skid Row, drinking wine or smoking crack, and you were watching TBN?
Yeah. And that's how
you got converted?
That's how I got converted.
What do you teach your congregation?
I teach the Bible according to Jesus Christ. And I study as much of the Bible that I can stomach in one sitting. But like I say,
wait,
stuff is really dull.
What do you mean?
I'm telling you, I study as much of the Bible as I can physically take in one sitting. Then I got to go and throw up.
And what are you talking about, throw up?
This brother, are you a Christian, brother?
Yeah.
All right, you know that stuff's boring.
No, it's not boring.
Oh, come on.
You are obviously not living it and walking it.
I live it, I walk it, I breathe it, I crap it. Every part of my body is the Bible and Jesus. That's the truth, brother.
I know
you appreciate my sense of humor, too.
I have trouble believing that.
You know, brother, I know what Jesus did for me. You know what Jesus did for you?
Oh, absolutely.
What?
He died on the cross.
Now, what did he do for you? Don't give me the pat answer. I want to know what he did for you.
Well, see, I don't have a background of drugs and
alcohol. I didn't think he did much for you.
But
you got a wife that nagged you into it. That's your business.
A what?
But you got a wife that nagged...
Okay, quit browbeating this poor guy. Thank you very much for your call, sir.
No, I wanted to ask... You got one brother on the line, you hang up on him?
I got you on the line. You're the other brother I got on the line. We're talking with Pastor...
Phil, all I'm saying is...
Hold on for a minute. We're talking with Pastor William Rennick about Joseph Lieberman, who has been told by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, to tone down the Jewishness of his pitch, to tone down references to his religion, to tone down his the religious message that he may have in his campaigning. William Rennick is on the line to talk with us about that and the fact that you believe Christians do the same thing, and it's just bad for business, right?
I believe absolutely bad for business.
All right, hold on here. I want to give the number 1-800-449-8686 because you said something really interesting. You study the Bible.
I do study the Bible.
You said you study as much of the Bible as you can stomach in one sitting.
Well, Phil, number one, the Bible is not good reading. If the Bible was good reading, more people would read it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, there are a lot of people who think the Bible...
Maybe a lot of people think the Bible's good, but it's not good reading, because if it was, more people would read it. It's a real bore. And so if you want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, which I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, if you want to do that, then you have got to begin to read that Bible as boring and as lousy as it is. And that's what I'm talking about.
You know what? I'm not a Christian, but I'm going to ask you some questions I'm sure a Christian would ask you. Do you find the story of Jesus dying on the cross boring?
No, that I don't. That's not boring, because that's got everything. But I'm saying that it's just, I sit down, I study the Bible, I read John, I go, holy Jesus. I put it down. I got to go walk around. I got to get oxygen. It's very heavy material. You can only take a few bites at a time, and then you have to digest it, is what I'm saying. You need to be able to sit down, read the Bible, go outside, get some oxygen, oxygenate your blood, and go back and read it. That's all. And that's all I'm trying to say about that. But I would not say... Well,
you're saying that it's boring, and you're, in other words, you're a Christian despite how crappy the Bible is.
It's a bad read.
It's a bad read. Like a Jacqueline Suzanne novel, huh?
Well, no, but I'm saying it's a bad read. It ain't the best. But I'm saying that this is a golden opportunity to have a Jewish man be vice president. Don't blow it by running around, putting your yarmulke on in public, straightening it out, picking out your nose hairs. In other words, drawing attention to the things that make you Jewish. You're picking out nose hairs, everybody sees what a big schnoz you got, straightening your yarmulke in public, all that stuff, people are going to see that. All I'm trying to say is make sure, look, all you Christians out there know what I'm saying is true. I'm just more honest, so I say it, that's all. And that's why I do what I do.
All right, Pastor Rennick, 1-800-449, you're just being honest. By the way, I'm not going to let that crack about picking the nose hairs go past, okay?
About his big Jewish...
About that. I'm not going to let that go past. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls after a quick break, but I do want to mention our Casino Night 2000, which is coming up on Saturday, November the 4th. The Casino Night 2000 begins at 7 p.m. Saturday, November 4th. All of the proceeds from Casino Night go to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. The Museum of Flying at the Santa Monica Airport is where it's going to be located. Tickets are $250 per person. It's really an entertaining night, and you can get tickets by calling My Friend's Place Casino Night 2000 coordinator Lisbeth Faust at 323-908-0011, extension 102, 323-908-0011, extension 102, or mail a check to Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California, 90078. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, coming back.
other than you asking me.
I'll tell you my opinion in a minute. It's the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And
what's your opinion?
What's my opinion on Joe?
What is your opinion on whether the ADL is right in asking Joe Lieberman to tone down his Jewishness? You are good at asking my opinion. What's your opinion?
I think they're wrong.
Why are they wrong? I think they're right.
I know you think they're right. I think they're wrong. A man's religion is who he is. It's the spiritual base of his life. He's not running around trying to convert people. He's saying, you know, it's really fun. The ADL, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I know that somewhere along the line they do good work in making sure that Jewish people are not defamed or otherwise persecuted. But the kind of humorless clowns that they've turned into, and I say humorless, I mean that, because here's a man, the very spiritual underpinning of his life is something he's supposed to tone down in public because we don't want people. Check it out, ADL. Stick with the politics. Leave the religion to the rabbis and cats like that, and bug off, okay? And by the way, I don't want any more letters from you. This show is not anti-Semitic much. Now,
you get letters from the ADL?
No, I do not. I'm kidding around. 1-800...
Well, Phil, I think you're wrong, because...
You think I'm wrong, because you think that the Bible is a boring read.
I love the Bible, I love Jesus Christ, and I love my religion. I'm saying the Bible is a real tough read, yeah. It's tough for me to get through it at night.
Well, then don't read it every night or something.
I got to read it every night. I'm a pastor.
All right, here's San Diego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. San Diego, hello.
Yes. I have a statement that I want to make. I don't have any questions to ask you, but how dare you get on the air? It's people like you that make not only black men, but also Christians look bad and sound bad.
Wait, sister. I'm not making black men look bad.
Instead of reading the Bible, you need to study the Bible. In Matthew, it says, go ye therefore and teach.
Oh, yeah, I understand that, but don't you think that's dull? I mean, come on.
I think that you are insane if you have an opinion like that.
No, let me ask. I'm honest.
That you are a Christian.
Now, come on, sister. I'm honest.
The things that you say.
That's a real big night for you sitting around and reading Matthew. Is that what you're telling me?
I sit around and read all the Bible.
Oh, that's a thrill. Well, what a big night.
Not just Matthew.
Now, wait a second. I'm saying when
I come up against people like you, I want to be armed because you are not a Christian. You are wannabe Christian.
Let me,
you really will be.
Let me jump in here. It's very unusual, Pastor.
Yep.
To hear first of all, we were talking about Joe Lieberman's Jewishness and how he shouldn't parade it around. And
well, I'm saying that Christians do the same thing.
I know you're saying Christians do the same thing. It's unusual to hear a pastor say that the Bible is a dull read.
It is a dull read. This sister knows what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I know that you have a problem that you don't know what you're reading. You're not studying.
I am studying the Bible. I know my Bible. I've got a lot of problems of getting through all those D's.
You sure do. You have a whole lot of problems, and you need to get help.
What's the problem? What is your biggest problem with the Bible?
You read the Bible, you got a thee and thou. Thee went there, and thou went here, and oh, jeez.
I don't think it's a problem of it being boring. It's a problem that you don't understand it. You need to go back and get some studying.
Well, what's up with that?
If you don't understand what you're reading, of course it's boring.
Well, what is that? What was up with that thee and thou? What's that?
What difference does it make? It means you. It means you or him or them.
Well, hell, why don't they put it like that?
They have Bibles
because
that are...
Because they didn't do that. They didn't write that way then. If you study a Bible, you know that.
Sister, what kind of pastor are you? No, wait a second.
People should be asking you those type of questions, and you should be coming to them with the answer.
Sister, you know one other thing, too, and I'm going to say this, and I know that my host here, Mr. Henry, who I think is a good man, he may have liked this, but you know that Bible was written by a bunch of white men.
I don't care if they're green, purple, orange, yellow. If that's what Jesus said, then that's what I'm going to do.
I'll tell you something else. I know this about the monks that made the Bible, Mr. Henry. You know this is true, too.
Wait a minute. Bringing up the race of the monks.
Now, hold on for a minute. The very same monks that transcribed the Bible in the Middle Ages invented beer.
But then why don't you go transcribe the Bible?
What did monks do? Now, hold on. What did monks do in drinking beer and transcribing the Bible?
Can you read Greek?
What's that?
Can you read Greek?
Am I Greek?
Can you read Greek?
Can I read Greek? Sister, I'll tell you, sometimes I think I'm reading Greek, but that's only after I have myself a Pilsner.
If you can't read it, don't complain about the transcription. If you want to do your own transcription, go learn a Greek and then come back to me. You have no sense. You need some help.
Oh, hell, what the hell that thing in Greek for?
You need help. Now you're cussing. What kind of pastor are you?
Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I let my voice out.
You know what? Don't be sorry to me. You are sorry, but I feel sorry for you.
I ask Jesus for forgiveness, you know, and I'm sorry about
and
that.
And I'm going to ask him for forgiveness for you, too. I'm going to be praying for you tonight because you really do need help.
I will tell you,
prayer.
But I tried to.
Need prayer.
But, sister, I want to tell you something. I tried to do what the monks in the Middle Ages did in reading Greek, and the only thing that I could do was to try to transcribe Genesis after four bottles of 40 OZ of King Cobra. It didn't work.
And wait a minute, wait a second.
If you really had Jesus in your life, you wouldn't have to worry about if it was monks or whoever. He could give you what he needs for you to know.
Why did you drink four 40 ounces?
Because exactly. To me it would be the same thing as reading Greek.
You
you know what?
You know,
I'm just going to end this call. You need help.
You need help. Now tell me you think Matthew's a big read.
You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You don't have him, but you do need him.
Wait
and I'm going to pray for you.
I love Jesus, and he's my Savior. He's the blood of the Lamb.
You can love him, but not know him, and you do not know him.
I know Jesus. I know
no,
one thing. Yes, I do.
I just don't think he's very exciting.
And I know, but I don't think he's all that exciting. I'm trying to get just how the monks did it. 40 ounces of King Cobra drinking all that booze.
Wait a minute. The monks didn't drink beer and transcribe the Bible.
Bull
crap. They most certainly didn't.
Oh, come on. They invented beer. They weren't swilling that stuff, trying to transcribe that Greek stuff.
Look at you.
You're making up excuses for your own failures. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to end the call because you're wasting my time on my cell phone.
I was going to pray for you. Just don't do me a favor, will you? Don't go out in public with all that I read Matthew last night stuff. Oh man. You going to kill a party?
She's gone.
Which shows me that young sister doesn't...
Never mind about the young sister. You're sitting there telling her that her big night reading Matthew.
That's what she thinks a big night is.
And what was that crack you made about, I know Jesus, I just think he's dull?
I wanted that girl at my Sunday service, too. But I'll say that Jesus he saved my rear end. He saved my black ass. I will tell you that. There's no doubt about that Jesus saved this black ass from a world of hurt. But do I want to go to a party with him? No.
You know that in the Bible it says Jesus turned water into wine at a party.
Yeah, that's real good. Look, how long is this?
Well, that's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Phil. I don't know what to say. All I'm telling you is this. Oh, never mind. Take another phone call, man. You don't get it now, you never will.
Well, I don't get it, and I don't know why it is that you can't understand that the Bible is the...
Uh-huh. What's the Bible? You know, you're a real scholar. Turn water into wine. Man, I bet you sit there right there with that sister every night. Read it.
Well, why do you got to make fun of me, okay? I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, look.
Yeah.
I'm going to go now. I'm awfully sorry if I offended you.
Well, you ought to be.
Yeah, I am, and I just simply want to say that I hope Joseph Lieberman doesn't back off of being Jewish. And
I'll tell you what, Vice President Lieberman, you can run around and tell everybody you're a Jew, man. They love that. Everyone's going to want you in their house, you tell them that.
And I hope you have success in your religion.
I'm going to go home, pop me a tall boy, a Coors Light, and get into some Bible reading.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation, who claims that the only way the monks were able to transcribe Greek into whatever they transcribed it into during the Middle Ages in creating the Bible was that they also invented Pilsner beer. And he tried to approximate how the monks did it by drinking four 40-ouncers one night and trying to transcribe Genesis, and he said it was like reading Greek. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. Listen to this. Australia's richest man, Kerry Packer, known as one of the world's biggest gamblers, was reported today to have lost at least $20 million in a three-day gambling spree in Las Vegas. Now, the guy is supposedly a billionaire. But $20 million, man, that cuts into your vacation. Imagine having that kind of jingle. We'll never know it. And then I read here where Ben Affleck, you know, when you don't need it, you get it. Ben Affleck, $140K he won playing blackjack at the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas. He took all $140,000 and gave it away to people. Can you imagine? You know, that's a very beautiful thing that he did. But people are talking about that today, like, God, what an idiot. He did a nice thing. He don't need the dough. Cat's making a nice piece of change. What do you think Ben Affleck makes per movie? I'm saying he's $5 million a movie. What do you think? What do you think? $5 million? $2 million a movie? You don't think he's that much? How much is, just by way of comparison, how much is Matt Damon? I bet you Matt Damon is up there. I bet you he's $10, $15 million a movie. Now, the biggest guy, who's the biggest movie? Brad Pitt has got it. What's he, $20, $30 million, $25 million a movie, maybe? So Ben Affleck, he's got a way. Jim Carrey, yeah. Jim Carrey is making $20 million a film, $25 million a film, maybe even more. So Ben Affleck is, he's poor. I mean, he's just crawling. He's scraping for cigarette butts. He's licking manhole covers, trying to get the least bit of moisture, even if it's urine. That's how bad off he is at $5 million a picture. So he obviously wins 140 grand at blackjack and Hard Rock Cafe, and he gives it away. But I love the way they print the story, you know, because there's going to be guys reading this on the air on their shows across the country going, what a moron, man, 140 grand. Hell, you know what I'd do with that? Hell, I'd go out and get a hooker. I go down to the Four Corners there, man, and start going through those booklets they give out and call up Big Janice. Or better yet, man, I go over to that chicken ranch, man. Hey, yeah. Have you ever been over to the chicken ranch over there? Come on, Taylor, be honest with me. You want to go over to that cherry ranch thing? How about you, Mike? I know you're married, but like the night before you were married, did you go up there? Like Ben Affleck needs to pay to get laid. I bet you he does. You know, Ben Affleck, think about it. Ben Affleck, nice guy, big star. Not everybody knows who he is. Not everybody knows who the guy is. You know, there are some people that don't go to movies. So he may have to go up there to the chicken shack and, you know, lay out a few 20s. I don't know. But I wouldn't go up there. There's something, and I'm not racist. Please, please, please understand that I'm not. There's something about going to the same brothel that a member of the UFW goes to. I just, United Farm Workers, now they're laughing. No, really, some guy in a big cowboy hat and boots, and he's still got the crap under his nails from picking lettuce, and he's on his way in. You really want to follow him into the parlor? Come on, Taylor. Guy's got a picture of a bull on his truck, and you're going to follow that guy into, just as soon as I'm done with her, you can take a shot at her. Oh, okay there, Ace. Not today, man. And you know what? It just isn't where it's at. But anyway, this guy, 140 grand, and he gave it away. Ben Affleck, and he gave it to, it says, he gave away the money to waitresses, dealers, concierges, bell guys. A wonderfully generous thing. I hope to God someday I'm in that position, man. Because, you know, you hit it when you don't need it, right? You think you and I are going to walk in there and hit 140 grand on a blackjack game? Forget about it. You know why? Because we're playing with scared money. And when we're the hammer, we don't know how to use it. I got chewed out. I was in the hammer position once at a blackjack game, and my friend goes, what are you doing? I don't know what you're, what are you talking about? I was, huh? Yeah, I was on the far left. Third base. I know most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Please forgive me. I am not a big gambler. I know some people who are. That's your favorite spot, though. That's where Mike sits and lives, man. He plays third base. He's got Gretchen standing behind him, sipping on that gin and tonic.
Another drink, honey?
You got it. Just keep them coming, baby. Sweat pouring down his face. Then he moves from the blackjack table. He goes over to the big crap table there at the Barbary Coast. He's playing craps with all them dealers over there. All the croupiers like to go play craps over there. And, you're over at Dealer Wendy's table at the Hard Rock, huh? Seriously? Okay, a big shout-out to Wendy. Nice of you to deal that $140,000 game there to Ben Affleck. Where are you working Monday? I'm joking. Did you see Casino? Did you read the book? The book was way better. Casino was really kind of a pile of a movie. You know, those Scorsese films just keep getting worse and worse. They just keep getting worse and worse. He peaked with Goodfellas and all of the rest of it. The same guys playing the same mobbed-up looking creeps, and it's all the same crap. But It was a good flick from the standpoint of Joe Pesci plays this, you know, gangster who's in Vegas, and he can't stay away from this card room. And he's playing blackjack with this one dealer, and the dealer, you know, is a guy who's not dealing him any winning hands. So he throws him a card he doesn't like. He says, take this and pound it up your ass. I guess you had to have seen the movie. Second thought, don't go see the movie. So then we have this Kerry Packer. This guy drops $20 million in a three-day spree. An official at Packers Publishing and Broadcasting Limited declined comment on the story. Your boss just dropped $20 million, and here's a guy that was waiting for the raise. Coupled with a three-week losing streak last September, Mr. Packer is now lost to the neighborhood of $100 million. Way to do it, baby.
I tell you what, that's the sorriest doctor I ever heard of in my life, and I've prayed for the look.
I beg your pardon?
The doctor is very sorry, because I'm a nurse at Santa Rosa Medical Center.
At the whereabouts, dear?
Santa Rosa Hospital.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's in San Antonio, Texas?
That's right.
Oh, all right.
And I think you're really pitiful because
I'm talking about what's wrong with a child being able to handle himself.
A child 3 years old. Let me tell you, Mr. When my baby was 3 years old.
How much did he weigh?
My baby coming at 8 pounds.
At 3 years old, he was 8 pounds?
I was born at 8 pounds.
Well, he wasn't 8 pounds at three, was he?
You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you if you just listen.
I'm sorry?
The baby was 8 pounds when he was born.
Yes.
When he got 3 years old, he was between 25 and 30 pounds. Walking good, straight legs, wasn't picking up no...
Can I ask you a question, darling? And I don't... Can I just ask you one question? Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
All right. Do you have your teeth in?
I beg your pardon?
Are your teeth in?
Oh, Lord, yes.
What do you mean, is our teeth...
I didn't know if your teeth were out of the glass yet.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I like to know. My teeth don't have nothing to do with the child's brain.
Well, that's understandable, but I couldn't understand you because I thought maybe the teeth...
Because you're talking too fast.
Your teeth were in another room.
You're talking too fast.
I'm not talking. I'm saying that at 120 pounds, a three-year-old is perfectly capable of taking care of herself.
What do you mean taking... You mean you're talking about duking it out in a fist fight?
That's right.
You know, he's pitiful, really.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that
he
in a situation...
He's so pitiful.
If you have a family that needs every member to work, then you definitely have to have that kind of...
But how do you know they need that?
I don't. I'm guessing. But I have worked with a lot of Hispanic...
Well, you know what? You don't guess.
I've worked with a lot of Hispanic families.
I'd hate to come into your office with my child and you guessing at the condition or whatever's happening.
You're a real gum slapper. I'm having a very...
What do you mean? I understand everything the lady's saying.
Well, I don't know. There's some saliva or something. Look,
I'm not. I don't have nothing in my mouth. I'm talking to you just as plain as I'm talking to the man that's on the program just now. You're a sad.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
I tell you what. I would pray for the little girl, and I'll say good night and have a good night.
What'd you say?
I understood her.
What? Who?